to jog your memory about some of the crazier moments, the more epic and memorable moments from week number one. So much to choose from. And we're still waiting for the polls to close for TD of the week. Final hour of that voting. So you can find the poll pinned to the top of our show Twitter page, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. And of course, you can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything while you're there, because producer Jay is now looking at the next 35 minutes or so to sift through your questions. By the way, Jay, I had someone come to me on social and ask me to post the link to Survivor Island. Now, he said he can't find it anywhere. So that's the problem, is that he made his pick for the first week, but doesn't know how to get back to it. So I'm going to try to tell people how you find it in case you've lost your way. You go to CBSSports.com, right? And over, in fact, I'll do it while I'm talking to you. Over on the far right side at the top of the top line of the website, you'll see login. There's a login button. So if you click on that and you put in your email address, here's the crazy part, is I'm using the email address from when we first started here. The network started nearly 10 years ago. The address is obsolete. So if they ever try to send me anything, I'm in dire straits. Or if they make me confirm my account, I'll have to change it. But anyway, so you go in, you log in, and then when you do that, where the login button, the password you just used was found in a data breach. Okay, great to know. Google Password Manager recommends changing this password now. That feels like spam to me. No?
A little bit.
Maybe.
A little spammy.
Very spammy. Okay. Anyway, instead of login, so once you do log in successfully, where the login button was before now pops up My Teams. So you go to the My Teams link, and what pops up then is, for me, After Hours Survivor Island year number 8. I am still on the island. Apparently, last week, 369 people were eliminated from this island. That's a hell of a lot of people.
That's a lot.
369? Are you kidding me? Who were they picking?
I mean, you think the Colts, everyone got eliminated there.
Not everyone.
The Niners were a big one. Everyone got
just
eliminated
you.
There. Well, yeah. Well, not on this island. I'm still alive on...
Because you are in Baltimore too? Wow. That's 369? How many people did we have on Survivor Island?
A lot also failed to submit their pick or save their pick.
Every year. Yeah, it happens every year. Why do you bother signing up? Right. And you don't pick and then you don't save it. Now, this is just the island that I'm on. There's another island, but I don't know how to access the numbers from that island.
Yeah, we have another bonus island.
You're on both islands, aren't you?
I am.
We split you in half and put you on both islands?
I'm on both islands.
Okay. So then are you going to log in and potentially figure out who's left on the other island? Just out of for fun to see how many people got eliminated between both islands? Could you? Por favor?
Not sure.
You're not sure if you can log in?
Yeah, let me
try my login. Did you forget your second login?
Well, I just always have it saved on my computer where my passwords are all in there. So let me give it a shot here.
All right, he's going to try. He has no idea if he can remember. But at least on the initial island of the archipelago, meaning the original, the OG, if you will, from the archipelago, there are 369 people that are already swimming with the sharks. This would be Isla Nublar. We know there are plenty of sharks and dinosaurs that swim in the water. I don't know where I'm going in week number two. I'll even look at it while we're sitting here, because we know that week two kicks off on Thursday with the Chargers and the Chiefs. Right now, a very popular pick is Kansas City. In fact, 89% of those people who are picking in survivor pools are picking the Chiefs over the Chargers. I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. Pittsburgh versus New England, that one seems like a crapshoot to me. How about Cleveland versus the New York Jets? Cleveland is also inconsistent, and I just don't know how I feel about it. I'm not super confident in that one either. Maybe Rams versus Atlanta. The Rams are actually home again, But the Atlanta Falcons looked good. They looked a lot more improved on defense. They put pressure on the quarterback with Jameis Winston sacking him four times into the third quarter. The Raiders versus the Arizona Cardinals, people are so down on Arizona now. There's even stories coming out about how they don't practice with any intensity. And so they're a team that just kind of loafs it, which I don't know if that's true or not, but that would certainly fall on Cliff Kingsbury's shoulders. Or Buffalo versus Tennessee. That's going to be a super popular pick as the Bills make their home opener in Orchard Park, New York. Right now, Cincinnati and Dallas, 94% of the picks are in favor of the Bengals.
That sounds about right. That's the one I'm thinking at the moment, at least, is the
safest
game.
Are you really?
I am. I really am.
Bengals and Cowboys. The sad thing is the Cowboys are also, it's sad for this reason, they're playing their second consecutive game at AT&T in Arlington, and they could legit go 0-2 and lose two home games to start the season. That's painful. I don't know, though, that the Cowboys need to fold up shop. And a lot of you are talking about how they're done in week number one, but I'm not sure that's the case. It's a really long season. A really long season. And if Dak Prescott is back, they have high hopes for him. You'll hear from Jerry Jones coming up inside of the next 15 minutes. They have high hopes for him. If he does return within the first month, I still say the NFC East is highly and widely and open up for grabs, openly, vociferously. That didn't really work there. I just wanted another big word. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, our hump show. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. So yes, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, you can vote, you can submit questions. If you missed my conversation with former Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Famer Danny Warfel, it was awesome. So I'd love to hear from you, but you can also find that on our YouTube channel soon, but in lieu of that, on our podcast, afterhoursamylawrence.com. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. So QB news is coming up in 15 minutes, not even 15 minutes. And after that, Ask Amy Anything is part of the Hump Show. So get it. Let's get it. I want to finish going through what happened in Major League Baseball on Tuesday. Mike Trout did not homer. So there was only one run scored by the Angels against the Guardians. So this is a big series for Cleveland. And when you think about that race in the AL Central, it's going to be tight all the way through. The Minnesota Twins actually took a combined no-hitter into the ninth inning on Tuesday, but were unable to close it out. So it was a yeoman's effort with the pitching. They were able to beat the Kansas City Royals, but did not get the no-hitter. Either way, it's go time, right? This is crunch time. And so the Chicago White Sox have played better lately. They've won 7 of their last 10, but the Guardians are matching their pace. They've got a 5-game winning streak now, 7 of their last 10 as well. And don't forget, this is one of the youngest rosters in Major League Baseball. Kirk McCarty gets the victory out of the pen on Tuesday.
This team's made up of a lot of guys that I've spent a lot of time in the minor leagues with, that I've become really good friends with, and even the guys that I didn't have quickly taken to all the young guys, and that's what makes our team so special. So it's a great environment. It's a ton of fun. It's fun to root for your teammates and play together, and that's what we're doing.
The Guardians, the White Sox, the Twins, all winning on Tuesday, but again, Guardians still atop that division. They put together another great surge, 10 games above 500 and 3 games ahead of the White Sox in the AL Central standings. In the NL Central, maybe we're not watching the race as much, though this week it comes into focus because it is the Brewers in St. Louis. All eyes on Albert Pujols, of course.
Albert had gone 1-for-8 facing Bush, but Bush had to leave with an injury. The pitch, a swing, and the ball is looped to right field. That ball gets down. Here comes Arenado with the go-ahead run on a single by Albert Pujols. 3-2 Cardinals in the first inning.
Hit number 3,369 for Albert Pujols. RBI number 2,199 for him, second all-time. Maybe everybody wants a home run, but I'll take the RBI single at a Cardinal lead.
On Cardinals radio, and I tell you what, I've heard all these calls before because I'm listening to every Albert Pujols at bat on the Cardinals radio network with the legendary John Rooney and company. KMOX in St. Louis is the flagship there, but they actually have one of the most extensive baseball networks in the country because that is a passionate fan base, and I don't want to miss his march towards 700. So he did start and play the entire game against the Brewers, and I think there was a ground out, there was a strikeout, something. He went 1-for-4 in the loss, but his RBI single came early in that game. However, the Brewers had more firepower and enough to be able to get that win over the Cardinals, and so they're able to pick up a game in the standings and are now within 7 of the Cards. Adam Wainwright is pitching in their Wednesday matchup, so that's going to be a game to watch or to listen to. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. The Cubs are not part of any playoff races. They're not officially eliminated like the Reds and Pirates are. Did you know that? Nationals, Reds, Pirates, all officially eliminated, mathematically eliminated from the playoffs and from any type of playoff race at this point in the season. The Cubs are 22 games below 500, but they really enjoy playing the role of spoiler. They played their rival Cardinals tough last week and now against the New York Mets.
Hap swings, drills one, deep right field. Going back, McNeil, he looks up. This one is in the second deck. The pitch, Bodie swings. Hits one in the air to deep right center field. Going back, Nimmo at the wall, leaps, and this one is gone. David Bodie with a solo home run to right center field, and the Cubs extend the lead. 4-0 now over the Mets here in the seventh. The 1-2 popped up left side of the infield. The shortstop, McKinstry, under it. He makes the catch, and the Cubs win again. Make it 2 in a row against the Mets. This time the Cubs win 4-1.
It was a frustrating night, but again, I mean, that's baseball. I mean, sometimes it happens, and it's a game of inches. And when you combine all that stuff together, I mean, it's just doesn't go your way. It's frustrating sometimes.
That's Pete Alonso. The Mets are scuffling, to be sure. Right now, they've got the Atlanta Braves nipping at their heels. The Braves are on the longest West Coast road trip of all time, but it's working well for them.
Dansby hits a rocket to left field. That's back to the wall, and that's out of the ballpark. He just put that thing in the fast lane, and it's 3-1 Atlanta here in the top of the third. A one on the ground ball deep in the hole, pass to diving Crawford. A hits the bag at third. He'll come to the plate and score, and Dansby drives in another run. 5-1 Braves here in the ninth inning.
The World Series champions have now won 7 of their last 10, as you hear on Braves radio. They're surging, and they've done this how many times this season? They did, in fact, leapfrog the Mets briefly last weekend, right now trailing by a half game, but same number of losses. So both teams have 54 losses. The Braves just happen to have one more win. And we've seen this problem before with the New York Mets, where the offense just disappears. Now, last season, it almost felt like a foregone conclusion. Once the Braves and Phillies found their groove, the Mets just did not have enough offense to support their pitching staff. But when you've got a Jacob DeGrom who's actually taking the blame for a loss of any kind, when the Mets can only scrounge together one run, that's a problem.
Just didn't make some pitches when they needed to there in the fourth. Got a couple guys on and wasn't able to execute when I needed to. So, tonight's on me. I needed to go out there and put up zeros and just wasn't able to do it.
Put up zeros? That's what it's come down to now. The Mets offense is so bad, and it really has been. It's just another meager performance by the offense, in which they have just 4 hits and 1 run. And so Jacob DeGrom has to go out there and put up zeros. That's what we're talking about here. 10 strikeouts for DeGrom, and his ERA, are you ready for this? I mean, this is Jacob DeGrom in a nutshell. 2.01 ERA. And yet he picks up his second loss because the Mets offense refuses to perform for him. It's almost like they want to increase the degree of difficulty because he's that good. So why don't we just take the night off and let DeGrom do all the work? I mean, he came back for this. He didn't pitch for an entire year. He comes back. You barely think he's missed a beat at all. He's brilliant. And yet he has to take the blame because he should have put up zeros. No. Mets, you better get your act together or you're going to waste Jacob DeGrom's return. And I know Max Scherzer's on the IL. They said it was mostly precautionary, but Mets are paying him a ton of money. They've got to get their groove back. The World Series champions, they know how to perform in a pressure cooker. Can the Mets go toe-to-toe with the champs? Who do I need to credit? No, I did it. I did it. Cubs Radio Network, Zach Zaidman on Cubs Radio. And then, as I mentioned, Braves Radio with Ben Ingram as their play-by-play voice. All right, coming up, the latest on Dak Prescott, courtesy of Jerry Jones. I know you all love, love, love Jerry Jones. And then, let's see, Justin Herbert on Patrick Mahomes, because those will be the two quarterbacks featured on the first game on Amazon Prime. Thursday Night Football. I shouldn't say the first one. I should say the first regular game. Thursday Night Football shifting to Amazon Prime come this week. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Murray back to throw. And it is. Is it tossed? Oh, my goodness. It's caught. DeAndre Hopkins caught it.
Dapper from under center. Steps back. Throws the fade.
Cooper Kupp's got it. Touchdown, LA.
Burrow back to throw. Looking. Firing deep for Chase in the end zone. Oh, he's got it. Yes. Touchdown. Joe Burrow and the Bengals.
Mahomes fires for the end zone. Caught. Touchdown. Kansas City.
And off to Eckler again. No. Herbert keeps it. End zone. Touchdown. Chargers. Herbert with his second of the day.
Here's the snap. Josh going to keep it himself and run it again inside the five. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo. Josh Allen, 9-yard touchdown run. The Bills respond and then some.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
We are in the calm before the week two storm, but it's coming. For those of you who are waking up on your Wednesday, happy hump day to you. That means Thursday, as in tomorrow, is the start of week two in the NFL. Don't be like John on our Facebook page, who says he's enjoyed all the football talk past tense, but he's ready to talk about other sports now. I would suggest you tune out. Hide under a rock for the next 6 months.
Don't be stupid.
Oh, Jerry, making an early appearance on the scene. All right, we'll hop right to it with QB News. Jerry Jones is back to making his weekly appearances with Sean and RJ on 105.3 The Fan, our Dallas radio affiliate. And he gives us the plan for Dak Prescott, who will not go on IR because they have high hopes for him to return sooner rather than later with that fractured thumb.
I think what we're going to do here is we won't be putting him on IR, which means that we want him to be a consideration for playing within the next four games. We will not put him on IR. Consequently, the people that are ready to play quarterback for us are the ones that played all preseason, Cooper Rush and Greer. They had a real competition. Greer got slowed there right at the end with a hamstring issue, but he should be through that now. And so we got a lot of good snaps for those guys, both in our practice session as well as all the preseason games for the most part.
Cooper Rush it is. There will be no play for Jimmy Garoppolo. In fact, the idea is if the Cowboys can just remain afloat for a couple of weeks without him, they believe they're going to get him back. They're hoping they're going to get him back. The problem is there's no guarantee that even if he does return, that he'll be able to grip the football or throw the football the way that he is accustomed to. But that's Jerry Jones on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, our affiliate. The initial timeline, if you remember, we told you for Dak to return 6 to 8 weeks because he had the surgery immediately on Monday. Jerry is saying that the doctors have given him a glowing report, and that now with the surgery done, they're even more optimistic. So bump up the timeline, maybe, but there's always a caveat because you don't know how he's going to recover even as he begins rehab. I do know that he'll have the best doctors in the country and the best technology and treatment that money can buy. As for the other quarterbacks on the roster, it's Cooper Kupp. Not him. It's Cooper Rush or bust for the Cowboys.
Those guys know the offense well. They've had a lot of reps in it, and consequently give us our best shot. It's unlikely, since we don't have any potential trade pending or any, not pending, but in the mill. It's unlikely that you'd have a veteran quarterback that could get back in here and be ready to play as well as those guys can play.
Cooper Rush and Will Greer. Greer has been on the practice squad, but they're the starter and the backup. Now, you remember that incredible Monday night performance where Cooper replaced Dak against the Vikings, had his family there. It was this really cool atmosphere, and it was great. But what the Cowboys really need is for Ezekiel Elliott to bust out and have a couple of humongous games. What they really need is for that run game to set up the passing game. What they really need is for the offensive line to give Cooper Rush time so that he can find his receivers. And what they really need is not to get super complicated. They're still trying to find their identity on offense. So this is a major blow. But if Dak is back in a month, say, there's no way the NFC East is already decided, even though the Cowboys were the only team in the division to lose in week number one. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. There was some concern about Mac Jones. He did play the entire game for the Patriots, a brutal loss in Miami on Sunday. But he did not speak to the media afterwards because he had to have his back checked out. And so there were question marks about whether or not he would be able to play in week two against the Steelers.
Definitely feel better. And yeah, I want to be able to be ready to play against Pittsburgh, and I feel good. But you know, yesterday, just talking with the trainers, just try to get back. Wasn't feeling too hot after the game, but definitely feel a lot better.
That's good to know. Although he sounds the same, whether it feels good or whether things are crappy, I suspect it was all business, pretty edgy around the Patriots facility this year. They do hate that trip to Miami, or Bill Belichick hates that trip to Miami. So at least they've gotten it out of the way. But
we don't have time for that.
If you are the Dolphins, there's a lot of pride in beating the Patriots again and starting out your season that way. For the Pats, they take a major step back from where they were in reaching the playoffs. And the questions will persist about the offensive coaching structure and why it's Matt Patricia who's calling plays and why there's no actual offensive coordinator, yada, yada, yada.
But I appreciate the question. I really do.
But he's not going to answer it. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. We start off week number two with Justin Herbert and the Chargers, 1-0 against Patrick Mahomes. And the Chiefs, also 1-0 and flashy and gaudy, and 3 touchdowns in 3 drives to start the game against the Cardinals. And then again, 3 touchdowns in 3 drives to begin the second half, just to show everyone that the reports of Mahomes and the offense and the demise of the Chiefs were greatly exaggerated, Justin Herbert.
I've got a lot of respect for Patrick. He's an incredible quarterback, has had a lot of success in this league. Over the past few years. So anytime you get to play up against him, it's always a great opportunity to learn, to watch, and just got so much respect for his game.
Amazon Prime. I don't know. Does that change anyone's viewing habits? The fact that it's a game that's streamed? Seems like more and more now teams, whether it be football or baseball or really any sport across the board, they're taking the money from these streaming companies and they're doing these kind of drop-ins, exclusive streaming. Apple TV has got random games here and there. They've got a deal with Major League Baseball. They've actually got their own TV crew. The problem is when the games are on Apple TV, say, they're blacked out in the actual individual markets. And so it's frustrating to a lot of fans who don't have, I don't have Apple TV. I do happen to have Amazon Prime, and I love Amazon Prime. I don't remember my life without Amazon Prime. But I'm sure there are a lot of people out there who don't have Prime, and yet Amazon is paying billions of dollars for the rights to not just broadcast the games, but they've hired big-time names to do play-by-play, like Al Michaels, like Kirk Herbstreit. I mean, they've lured away huge names in broadcasting. Andrew Whitworth, the Rams offensive lineman who won the Super Bowl and then retired, he's part of the Amazon Prime coverage. So they're pouring money in like it's burning holes in the Amazon pockets, the Amazon coffers. And so we'll see. I'm looking forward to it. I'm not kidding about this. I upgraded my TV to a smart TV in large part because there will be football and other sports that are streaming more and more moving forward. All that to say, week two kicks off on Amazon Prime with the Chargers at the Chiefs for the opener at Arrowhead Stadium. Now, there was a game in the slop in Chicago that was anything but memorable. Even as the Bears were rallying to score 19 unanswered points against the San Francisco 49ers, former St. Louis offensive coordinator, Super Bowl champion OC from the 2000 team, he was the greatest show on turf boss. He's a former head coach in the league. Mike Martz, he actually did an appearance with the 33rd team, and we found that on TMZ. He crushed Justin Fields, the Bears quarterback for week one.
I'm just shocked at the Bears. I mean, they took this quarterback, they went up and spent a lot to get him, and he was less than remarkable would be the kindest thing that you could say about him. I don't know if I've ever seen such a bad performance by a quarterback in his opening performance of the season. Like, he was just completely awful.
Ever?
He really deflated the football team with his performance. They just, you know, when you get a quarterback, they can't do anything at all. And defensively, you shut him out basically for a half. You kind of lose hope. You know, right now they're a team without hope.
So that's what he had to say about the Bears' second year quarterback. But let me just tell you, he didn't hold back on the Niners' second year guy, Trey Lance, either.
I've never seen anything about this kid that was encouraging at all. He really has to plan himself to make a good throw. He's not a quick decision guy. Every shot in the rear about him being a mobile guy making plays with his feet. He looked like a fullback stumbling around trying to run the ball to me. I mean, he's not Lamar.
It was sloppy. You know,
so I don't know what he is. He's not a particularly good guy with the football. And based on what I saw today, I mean, he missed two guys completely by themselves. I know it was in the rain, but your quarterbacks do that. You make those throws. I know this. He can only go up. He can only get better because you can't get any worse than what he did today. I've never liked him. I still don't like him. I don't know. I'd like to know what he does so well, because he's not a great passer, doesn't have good skills, takes him a long time to set himself and throw the football, misses easy throws, and he's not particularly a good runner. Other than that, he's a hell of a player.
Other than that, he's a hell of a player. Wow. Mike Martz, former head coach of the St. Louis Rams, and he took over in 2000 after they'd won the Super Bowl. He was the offensive coordinator. It was the 99 team in the 2000 Super Bowl. And then remember, he was the head coach when the Rams went to the following Super Bowl and lost to the New England Patriots and Tom Brady, but does not hold back on either Justin Fields or Trey Lance on the 33rd team podcast. I mean, it made huge headlines on Tuesday, but we wanted you to hear it.
That's a hell of a player.
Other than that, she's a hell of a broadcaster. He like lists all of his faults that he can possibly come up with. I've never been a fan of his. And then other than that, he's a hell of a player. Wow. Sarcasm. It's dripping. It's biting. I will try. Sarcasm is my love language, so I do understand what he's saying. I will try not to be sarcastic on the next edition of Ask Amy Anything. It's straight ahead. All you got to do is send your questions to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or to our Facebook page, Ready Break.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Time to ask Amy anything. Sort of.
Hit me with your best shot.
Questions about tickling or peeing or anything like that. I guess as Mike Tomlin said it, he kind of started it with the urinating down his leg or not urinating down his leg. So no more of those types of questions or stories or anything like that.
I don't fear sudden death.
As long as we're on the same page. I'm telling you, tickling is torture. Just take my word for it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks for sending your questions to Twitter and Facebook. And we're off, Producer Jay.
Let's do it. So we all know that you went to the Yankee game this past weekend.
Well, some people know, yes.
Some people know that, but now it's officially known. Amy went to the Yankee game last weekend. So Steven wants to know.
Just to clarify, it was the Yankees Rays. They were playing another team.
Right. Okay. At Yankee Stadium. The Yankees versus Rays at Yankee Stadium. Yes. Amy was there Saturday.
Steven, it was hot.
Steven wants to know, did you chow down on anything cool or anything special at Yankee Stadium while you were there?
Well, I had an Italian sausage. I thought that was really delicious. I've never been in the Ford MVP club before, but the tickets that our sales department generously offered, these are not tickets I could ever afford, but they included passes to the MVP club, which was amazing because it was friggin' hot and there was such great AC in the club. Lots of people were in there hiding. So we got free waters and sodas, which was clutch, and then popcorn and baseball peanuts. You know the kind I'm talking about. And they also had Italian sausage and burgers and all that kind of stuff. Their steak sandwiches, $20. I decided to opt for a sausage instead of a steak sandwich, but the Italian sausage was delish.
Sounds good. So BK, since you just mentioned hamburgers, he
and actually... I smuggled in fruit stacks. Sorry.
Nicely done.
Yeah.
So BK wants to know, what are your favorite toppings on a hamburger since you brought it up?
I go with mozzarella cheese or provolone cheese. I know that can be weird, but I love it. So on my burger, there needs to be a slice of cheese melted. It needs to be melted. So it goes on the burger either when it's still on the grill or still in the pan just to melt it a little bit. Melty mozzarella is my favorite. Then I also like to put onion. So slice of onion as well as a slice of tomato. And lately, I do ketchup as well. But lately, like to throw some, don't ask me why, but like to throw some, without the ketchup, I guess, some fried egg on top. And so I'll either go ketchup or I'll go fried egg, but you probably not the two of them together. But yes, egg on a burger is delightful if you've never had it.
Probably one of the most underrated burger toppings there is.
Yeah, we're out to change the world and change the view of egg on a burger, because if you haven't tried it, oh, you're missing out.
So the seasons are changing and it's becoming the fall. So this question's appropriate.
Let's hope.
Nancy wants to know, have you ever visited an orchard to pick apples? Seems like a fall activity.
Well, it's a harvest activity, which happens in the fall. You can't pick the apples in the middle of the summer because they're not ready to eat, Jay. Just, you know.
Sounds about right.
Okay. Nature lesson for you. I have done it, but not in a very long time. I don't know why. Maybe because it seems like my friends always want to do stuff on Sundays during the fall. And I can't do anything fun on Sundays during the fall. I am Debbie Downer on Sundays during the fall because all I do is take notes about football games. I've met this new crowd of people and they're fun. I went whitewater rafting with them. They keep asking me to do stuff on Sundays. One of them sent me a text about how he's going to have football watch parties and also during the baseball playoffs wants me to come over and hang out. I'm like, how do I explain to him that I don't get to hang out? Like, you get to watch what you want. I got to spend 12 hours taking notes of our football. It makes me so unpopular and uncool, but what am I going to do? So anyway, I haven't been in a very long time. I do know that upstate New York has some pretty incredible apple orchards and apple pickers. And so maybe I should do that so that all work and no play does not make Amy a very boring and uninteresting girl.
You could pick pumpkins too.
I could
pick pumpkins.
I can't. Let's move on.
Pumpkin picking.
I sound stupid enough as it is half the time on the air. Let's not talk about picking pumpkins. Pick pumpkins. Pick pocket pumpkins. Pumpkins pick pockets. That would be cool.
Yeah. All right. So this one's interesting, I thought. David wants to know, if there were such a thing as a fantasy football broadcaster league, who would be your first overall pick?
Kevin Harlan. Wouldn't Kevin Harlan be your first overall pick?
He absolutely would be my first overall
pick. He's so versatile. He does everything from the NBA to college basketball. He could easily do college football, even though he's not asked to do it, but also the NFL, and he loves it, and he has a passion for it. He does radio. He does TV. There is no one more versatile, or maybe not a more memorable voice than his, though I will say I could go on and on and on in various sports about the number of play-by-play announcers that I adore. I would rather listen to them most of the time than watch on TV. Just mention one of them. This is just one of them, but John Rooney. I love to hear his calls of Albert Pujols at bats right now as he chases 700 home runs. But yes, Kevin Harlan would be, should be, the overall number one pick. Do you have anyone else that you would put up against him?
Well, I thought there was a chance you might go with Chris Collinsworth.
Well, he's, yeah, but he's an analyst, not a play-by-play guy. But so you're just kind of.
I see. Yeah, well, I was kind of just. Yeah.
The umbrella of broadcasters.
Right.
Well, he's my mom's favorite. I don't dislike Chris. I think he's great. But he's mom's favorite. My favorite is Kevin Harlan, for sure. But I also think that Joe Buck is extremely talented. I don't know how many people were tuning into Monday Night Football simply because of Joe Buck. I think the money that's being spent is outrageous on broadcasters, because honestly, and I am in this business, I don't think they make that much of a difference. I could be wrong. Maybe you tune in because of a particular broadcaster. I think it happens more on radio that people tune in because they like a particular broadcaster. So anyway, Joe Buck is also extremely versatile.
Late first round sleeper, Kevin Burkhart.
Howie Rose is amazing. Kevin Burkhart is also amazing. I mean, I could go on and on. There's so many. If it were, maybe we're not just talking about game announcers. Maybe we're talking about broadcasters like, I don't know, guys that sit at a desk, right? I mean, you could be talking about anybody. That's a really wide swath. Can I not make myself the number one pick?
Sure can.
Okay. I changed it. Sorry, Kevin Harlan. You've got company.
Damn, I was going to take you second overall.
Oh, thank you, Jay. Thank you.
All right, so this one's a quick fantasy question, another one to follow up, because Chris needs some help here.
Uh-huh.
Chris wants to know, should I drop Dak Prescott in my league and pick up perhaps Tua or Wentz?
Well, you need to pick up another quarterback because you can't start a guy who's not playing. Wait, if I'm telling you that, you're going to lose your league big time.
I think
you don't drop him, though. You just there is, at least most leagues have an injured reserve spot, right, where you can keep a guy who's injured, or you put him on your bench and get another quarterback. You were going to have to need another quarterback anyway for bye weeks. So I say you keep him, and that keeps someone else from having him, too, down the road.
There you go, Chris.
Wait, should I drop the Steelers' defense now?
No, don't do that.
Okay. All right. I'm a little bit peeved about it, but okay.
Moving on from fantasy, Y'all, I believe, wants to know, when mowing the lawn, do you save the shade spots for last?
No. I go in patterns. I go up and down, back and forth. No, I don't. No. Why would I do that?
Are you into, like, the lines on the lawn?
I mean, I want it to look neat, but I'm not worried about every single line being the exact same way. I do like it to appear neat, as opposed to, you know, drawing pictures in my lawn. I don't do that.
Kevin wants to know.
What do you think of the Cleveland Browns new logo with the brownie, the elf?
As I was about to get into my
question. Oh, sorry.
Kevin wants to know, what do you think of the Browns new mascot?
It's a little bit corny, a little bit cheesy, but I don't think it's bad. I mean, if they like it in Cleveland, I'm not the target audience. So if they love it in Cleveland and he incites fear and trepidation in the visitors.
Looks like he's going to go make some cookies.
Yeah, I mean, he's been a part of the Browns tradition for a while. It's just, I wasn't quite expecting a gigantic elf at midfield.
I believe that was fan voted.
I'd like to hear from Browns fans, because if you love it, then by all means, let's go.
Last one here before rapid fire. Gut Boy, my guy, wants to know, or he says, New Hampshire was just listed as the state with the highest literacy rate. Mm-hmm. Did you read a lot growing up? Were you a bookworm?
Oh, absolutely. I read multiple books per week. My mom still reads multiple books per week, so she continues to be that. But yes, it was passed on to me from my mom. My brother and I are both huge bookworms. We've been supporters of public libraries for years. And it wasn't until about four or five years ago when I got back into reading that I started sleeping better. I read fiction before I go to bed, and it really helps settle my brain. I love to read. A book on a beach any time of the year is one of my favorite things in the entire world.
I will close it out here with some rapid fire. Iced tea or lemonade?
Lemonade. Preferably blackberry lemonade with vodka. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, that sounds good. Playlist or podcast?
Oh, gosh, that's tough.
That's a good one.
Right now, I'll go podcast.
Cookies or chips?
Anything with chocolate. Can my cookies have chocolate?
Yeah, but what if it's like a chip covered in chocolate?
Ew, no. What? We're not dipping our chips in chocolate.
Wings or ribs?
Wings. I can't eat ribs in public. I have to really love you to eat ribs in front of you, and even then I might not eat ribs in front of you. They're so freaking messy.
Suitcase or backpack?
Tote bag. Okay. I'm a girl that loves my bags.
Last one here. Altoids or Tic Tacs?
Tic Tacs. They're like candy. Forget Altoids. I might be the only person I know next to producer Jay who doesn't like mint. We don't
not
like
a fan.
Mint.
No.
Yeah, unfortunately, most toothpaste, unless they're made for five-year-olds, are mint. I guess I could get a bubblegum toothpaste,
cinnamon.
But no, it tastes gross. So, have you ever had a cinnamon toothpaste? Disgusting.
Not a fan of that either, really.
No. So, right, Tic Tacs. We used to steal them from my mom's purse, especially the orange ones. Those were our favorites. Thanks for your questions. It's our Hump Show After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.